Welcome to Geek Freaks. I am Frank, and I'm here with Kalani Hubbard, the director of Sky Hoshi Anime Grill. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
That's great. We're talking about Sky Hoshi today. Can you break down the plot of this amazing movie?
Oh, okay. So Sky Hoshi Anime Girl is about an anime character who becomes real, falls out of her poster, and goes missing from her anime. And then she has to find her way home before her anime is destroyed and everything goes haywire. So that's the general concept behind the film.
I mean, what a creative idea. I love the idea that, like, literally she's missing from the anime too. People are like, oh, worried about that. That's such a cool idea.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Where did you get the idea to incorporate this anime story into live action?
Yeah, well, so I love anime and I had been watching a lot of it. And when the time came to make my next feature film, I was kicking around a bunch of ideas. And I always thought I wanted to do something with kind of a magical element. And mm-hmm. I was like, I wonder, like, if an anime character, like, fell out of their poster, like, what would happen? And so that's kind of where the idea started. And I loved the concept of, you know, if an anime character fell out of their poster and they became real, they actually go missing from everything. They're not in a video game anymore. They're not in the manga anymore. You know, they're not in the anime anymore. So they go missing from all the posters everywhere. So it's kind of a fun concept where in the movie, she goes missing from everything. And then, like, you know, everybody who is used to watching the show and reading the mangas are like, wait, she's missing, like, these pages. Like, she's not on the pages anymore. She's not in the anime anymore. Where'd she go? You know, so it's this whole thing. But yeah, so that was kind of the inspiration behind it. And it's been a wild ride. It's been fun to make.
It's cool because then also the characters in the story are realizing that, like, magic is real. At the same time, when they're missing their character, it's like, wait, so this can happen? It's such a cool concept.
Yeah, totally.
What were your inspirations on the anime side of things and also on a film side of things?
So for film stuff, I take a lot of inspiration from the films that I watched growing up and the things that made me want to be a filmmaker. So like early Spielberg stuff, Jurassic Park, E.T., you know, and Robert Zemeckis, Back to the Future, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, like, you know, these great films, you know, made by the greats. And those are the movies, of course, Star Wars, you know, all these movies that I fell in love with that kind of take you into this magical world. And you're like, I wonder what would happen if that was real, you know?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So I think, E.T. would be a great one for this story in particular, where, you know, E.T. is kind of like this alien that comes into, you know, this kid's life. And, you know, in this movie, Sky Hoshi is the anime character who falls into Adam, our lovable comic store worker, into his life.
Mm-hmm.
Turns his life upside down and he's trying to figure out what's going on. And so so I take a lot of that inspiration from, you know, all of those movies I loved growing up. And then when it comes to anime, you know, I absolutely, I love anime. I've just been watching a lot. Recently, I've been watching a lot of Spy Family is great. Okay. I've been watching Chainsaw Man, so good.
Oh, yes.
I love Chainsaw Man, so good. And then funny enough, the anime that really inspired just kind of the world of Sky Hoshi, funny enough, is Plunderer. I don't know if anybody has, I have mentioned this. I've gone to a lot of anime conventions and I've mentioned Plunderer and nobody knows what Plunderer is. Like, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, it's just not really, like, well known. But I stumbled upon it and I started watching it and I was really confused. I was like, what is this? And I was like, I was so confused, what's going on? And so I watched the second episode and I was like, this is very interesting. And then I watched the third episode, and by the time I knew it, I had watched the whole season. I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
So Plunderer is fantastic. But if you ever see it, it's absolutely nothing like Sky Hoshi in any way. But there's this spirit of this big, just magical world that they've created where, like, there's, you know, well, I don't want to spoil it if anybody goes try to watch it, but basically there's just, like, tons of cool, like, magical elements and legends and all these things happening in this story. And it just was so inspiring to me. And so I ended up creating the lore of Sky Hoshi, and I had to create where she came from because I wanted this movie to very much be like as if this anime had always existed. And so so I used, you know, a lot of inspiration from all these anime to, like, really create Sky Hoshi's world. And so she's from the future, New York City in the year 3001. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's kind of like the basis of where she comes from. So yeah, that's kind of all the inspiration for the movie. Yeah.
That's great. And then you're mixing this 3001 anime world with the mundane world of Adam. What are some of the themes that you're trying to pull forward with that, the mixing of the mundane and the magical?
Yeah, well, I think something that's very interesting and something you'll see when you watch it, like the movie has kind of a really sweet message. You know, it is a really fun fantasy movie. You know, there's lasers, ramen, there's a lot of comedy. You know, it's got a lot going on. But at the core, it really is about Sky Hoshi seeing the beauty of life because she's alive for the first time. You know, she's usually a 2D animation, you know, but she's alive and she's experiencing all these things that we take for granted, right? So even the simplicity of eating like ramen or something, it's like, maybe we'll just eat food and not think much of it. But this is her first time tasting ramen. So she's like going crazy. She's like, oh my God, like it tastes so amazing, you know, or her first time seeing the New York City skyline or like all these wonderful things that we might just kind of go about our day and not really think about. Sky Hoshi really treasures each moment because she's really experiencing it. And so that's kind of the message behind the movie, really, is to just find the beauty in everyday life and find the beauty in the things that are already in your life. And so that was kind of this beautiful thing where she turns his life upside down.
Yeah.
But he also gets to show her the beauty of the world around us. And we get to see that through her eyes.
Yeah. What a beautiful message. And really, it does sometimes take an outsider to kind of give you the new perspective you need on something you see every day.
Yeah.
Really nice message.
Yeah.
Speaking of New York and conventions, you filmed a lot of this at a New York convention. Not a lot of this. You filmed at a New York convention.
Yeah.
How challenging was that?
Oh, my God. So we filmed the movie at Anime NYC, and it was so fun and so chaotic because there's so many people there. So, but that was actually the very first day of production, our very first day on set. And it was really exciting because it was kind of like we got to debut our original anime character to the anime community in this amazing place. And so, that was a very, very special moment for us because people were coming up to Sky and be like, oh my God, I love your cosplay. Who are you dressed as? You know? Mm-hmm. And it was really validating for us to experience that and be like, oh, like here's a character that we love, but to see all the people who love anime come around it and say, this is awesome. Like, I can't wait to see the movie or I love your cosplay. That was really exciting that they loved Sky Hoshi as much as we did. And so that was really inspiring to be like, okay, day one, like it's working. This is great. And then we actually did a tour over the summer and we showed Sky Hoshi to a lot of fan expos and anime conventions. And when we did that, it was just kind of welcome with open arms. Like everybody really, really loved it. And so it was just like a really fun kind of full circle moment where like the day one we filmed at an anime convention.
Yes.
And then, you know, we're releasing the film and showing it to people at an anime convention. It was a cool moment for sure.
Yeah. And seeing people's reactions. I watched your video of you talking to a few people after the showing and just reading people online. And it's been positive on every front. It seems like people are really excited about this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been so wonderful. You know, for me, like as the writer, director, I'm obviously making something that I love. And, you know, as an artist, you want to create something that is true to you and something that you love and something that resonates with you. And you just hope that other people will like it too. Yeah. And so, and it's been just kind of a resounding, hooray, you know, like everybody has absolutely loved the movie. And that's been fantastic. That has been striking a chord with a lot of people and people have been really enjoying it. So we've been getting a lot of good reviews, a lot of good messages. We've been getting fan art. Like it's been really, really cool.
Yeah. Now the convention scene, of course, is a lot of fun and stuff like that, but also you have to work with a lot of production and you're working with Pure Magic. Can you kind of explain that relationship and Pure Magic to people who don't know?
Yeah. So me and my wife started a film studio. It's just a little indie film studio. It's called Pure Magic Pictures. And that's essentially the studio that creates all of the movies that we make. So, and it's a very small team. It's literally like me and my wife and just a couple other people. And we go out and we make indie movies and we make the stories that we want to see and the movies that we wish already existed, but don't. And we're like, all right, well, let's go make something fun, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're just indie filmmakers making stuff. And then we have, obviously, we release all of our movies on Pure Magic Pictures. So if you go to like puremagicpictures.com, you can watch all the movies that we've created. And, you know, we're building like a pretty strong fan base on Instagram and on Discord. And so that's been really cool. So whenever we have like a new release, we do like a live digital premiere where we gather all the fans together and we all watch it together. And it's a really fun moment. But yeah, that's what Pure Magic Pictures did. It's just like a small mom and pop movie shop making making movies and having fun with it.
Now, with the ability to control with Pure Magic and also the indie scene, what are some of the boundaries you're excited to push that maybe like Hollywood wouldn't let you push if you were in a big picture studio?
Yeah, I think just like being able to get excited about an idea and then just go make it, you know, there's just a lot of people, including myself back in the day, that would have a script and wait around and try to pitch it around for a really long time and hope that somebody will say, yes, you can make this and give you permission to make it. And then maybe they'll have some thoughts on your script. You're like, you know what? Maybe you should add a talking dog, you know, be like, what talking dog, you know, maybe you should do this or that. And so then they start kind of meddling with the idea. And all of a sudden it just kind of becomes, it's something else, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I absolutely love about Pure Magic Pictures is that, you know, all these movies are self-funded. And it's just literally me and my wife and a small team of us making stuff. So if there's an idea that really inspires me or strikes a chord with me that I'm really excited about, I'm able to kind of just like hit the ground running and make it. And so what you see is really just us making it. You know, there's no studio or anything crazy behind it. It's literally just us with like, you know, a small team and having fun and making art. And that always, that never really sat right with me. As an artist and as a filmmaker, that you spend a lot of your time like hoping that somebody will give you permission to do your thing,
right?
You know, and I'm like, oh, we want to make stuff. We're artists, you know. Like that would, I'm also a musician, and so if I had to ask permission every time I wrote a song, you know, that would be really depressing. You know, or like that'd feel really hard. And so, you know, we just work within our means. And when you see Sky Hoshi, it seems really big and exciting, and it is, but we were really strategic because you have to be when it's an indie movie. So we literally filmed inside of my apartment. Like, so my apartment is Adam's apartment in the movie. We filmed in my car. My car is one of the characters' car in the movie. We have a friend who owns a comic store, so we filmed in their comic store. And then Anime NYC, we filmed there. We filmed on the streets in New York. So, you know, we really were like, very strategic with our locations because, you know, with you don't have a lot of budget to work with. So, but you end up with the freedom to make a story that you really care about. And so, yeah, that's something that I'm very excited about and something that I really cherish about the position that we're in, being such a small studio.
Yeah, I actually kind of like the way it leans into the name as well, Pure Magic. It's like from inspiration, then you get the product without any of the input from outside or budget or money. It's just like, this is the pure magic that I had wanted to see. And here it is. It's
perfect. I love that. Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
Let's talk about more about Sky Hoshi. Now we have Adam and Sky Hoshi herself. What is Sky Hoshi's motives? Is she trying to get back to the anime world or is she having so much fun? She's kind of enjoying our world.
Yeah. So, she's kind of a little bit of like a fish out of water in the beginning of the movie. She's just kind of like, what happened? How did I get here? And so we find out that Adam, he found a jar of stars and he made a wish on them. And so that kind of makes her fall out of the poster. And so they realize that, the jar of stars essentially is a countdown, right? The amount of stars that are in the jar is the amount of days she has here. And so now she has to, figure out how to get back to her anime before the time runs out. And so she does enjoy her time while she's here, but it's a little bit of like a ticking clock situation and where they're like, okay, like, let's get down to business. Like, let's get you home, you know? But there is some moments where they get to kind of like hang out for a second and enjoy the time that they do have. And so, it's a little bit of like a ticking clock situation of a movie.
And then for Adam, whose world is turned upside down, was there any inspiration from like maybe a character in your life? Are you playing Adam in a way? Is there anything like that going on?
Oh, yeah. I think I took a lot of, like, Adam was this great collaboration between me and the actor who played him, Hunter. Yeah. Hunter's, he's fantastic. And so I originally, when I wrote Adam, he was a little bit more of like a Marty McFly inspired character. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's kind of where it started. There's a little bit of me inside of every character that I write.
Yes.
Which is always fun. And so, you know, there is some me definitely in Adam, but and in Skye as well, you know, her childlike wonder, is probably a little bit of me. Her love for ramen as well. But for Adam, you know, it was very much a collaboration. And I thought that was kind of a fun take on his character. So I had written it and he was supposed to be a little bit more like a Marty McFly style character. But when Hunter started reading the script and we started talking about his character, he's like, I want to do a little bit more of like a quirky take on him. And I was like, yeah, let's try it. And so it was kind of like this cool blend between the character I had originally intended and the character that he had a cool idea for. And it actually landed in this really cool spot where I think that it was just kind of like this great synergy moment where like both of our ideas combined created this like really cool, unique character that I wouldn't have necessarily off the top of my head, like written, but I think it's like, it elevated the movie so much. And I think it added so much to it. And so, yeah, he's really supposed to be kind of like the little bit of like a little bit of a slacker style character who works at a comic store, you know? You know, he doesn't like change, you know, he's kind of a boring guy, but he doesn't realize it. And then throughout the movie, you know, Skye teaches him and shows him, you know, like the beauty of life. And at the end of it, he ends up being a little bit more exciting. Steps out a little bit more out of his comfort
zone.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Much like Hunter, how often are you trying to stick to the script or are you kind of working with the actors to discover a new character?
Yeah, I think it kind of depends on the character, but I think, you know, when I work with my actors, you know, it really is a collaboration. You know, I have an idea of what I had written and what the script calls for, but also because I'm the writer and the director, I think that it does bring this kind of like great blend where I'm always kind of rewriting the script throughout the whole process, right?
Yeah.
So we always try to stay to script, but if something inspires us, we're gonna like lean into it, you know, and change stuff all the way through, you know. And so, you know, even working with Olivia, she had some fantastic ideas for her character.
Yeah.
And so she really brought Skye to life in such a great way. And so, you know, I had kind of the basis of what Skye was, but Olivia came in and really elevated that character beyond anything I could have imagined. So you like really did a fantastic job. From like her mannerisms, she had some really great, like, she has this Skye Hoshi pose that she does when she like draws her laser gun.
Yeah.
And like, you know, Olivia came up with all of that. You know, that was all her.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Great. And I love the Skye Hoshi laser gun pose and it was a cool balance that we had to strike. And I think Olivia did a fantastic job because as an anime character, you know, anime is very like exaggerated, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
But we wanted to have like what if an anime character became real? Well, you know, there's this line where they would be exaggerated, but you know, they're not like a cartoon anymore, you know, they're not like this animation anymore. And so we had to strike this balance between we wanted her to feel grounded and real and believable, but also still an anime character. And so that's kind of like a tough one to do. But I think Olivia, like she nailed it. She did a fantastic job. So, so it really is a great collaboration all across the board.
I've seen her talk about it a few times and you could tell she really enjoyed playing the role. And I think that's a testament to you, pure magic, and just the film in general. So.
Thank you. Yeah. She did fantastic. Like she really brought Skye Hoshi to life in a way that, I couldn't have even imagined. So
yeah.
Way to go, Liv. Good job.
Actually, this is really topical at this point is the adaptations of anime. We have Avatar: The Last Airbender that recently came out, One Piece before that. Is there something you're recognizing in anime adaptations that can be done a little bit better or is something that is actually being mastered now?
Yeah, I think something that I have not, something that I think is kind of exciting about Skye Hoshi is that we did it a little differently. We created the live action version of Skyhoshi first. Yeah. And then we went and we created the anime version of Skyhoshi based off the live action. Hmm. And so like, so obviously her anime version and her look very similar because right. it was based off of her. So I think the thing that's always kind of difficult is when you adapt an anime, you're kind of used to hearing that anime character's voice and you're used to, you know, seeing what they look like, but that is not actually a real person. You know, that's an anime drawing. Mm-hmm. And so it's always hard to find a character that looks like as close as you can to the anime character and also maybe even sounds in their voice a little bit closer to the anime character. So that's always kind of hard. And so I think something that I found really exciting is that like Skyhoshi matches the anime version of Skyhoshi because it's pretty much the same person.
Yeah.
and so that was kind of cool. And I feel like pretty unique that you don't really get to see that often.
Yeah.
But I had watched recently the Cowboy Bebop adaptation
on
Netflix.
Yeah.
And I thought I was like, okay, I see what they're doing. Like mm-hmm. I wasn't like a huge fan of it. Like I think that it could have been, I think, better. But I did see some really cool things. I think their casting choices were great. I love who they casted for Spike and Jet. Like I think they really nailed Spike and Jet. And I think the first couple episodes were like actually pretty good, but then mm-hmm. I feel like it slowly got kind of worse.
Yeah. It feels like maybe Netflix had a little bit too much input on that, you know? So it's like, okay, I can see where you guys are losing footing on this.
Yeah. So, did you ever watch that one? Or
I didn't finish that one, which is a bad sign.
Yeah. I got to the last episode. I got all the way to the last episode. And then I was like, yeah, I was over it. Yeah. And then like literally a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I should just finish the last episode so I can at least like say I finished this. And so I watched it. It was painful to get
because through, homework at that point.
It was homework. Yeah.
I hate to be one of those guys that always says this, but New York is its own character. And And in this, it definitely is. What about New York did you want? I know, obviously, it's like, oh, wow. From anime to New York.
Yeah.
How did you use New York as a character in this?
Yeah. So, I mean, I just love New York City. I moved here like 9 years ago. And, you know, it's still like this magical place to me. You know, I didn't grow up here. So like everything is like, oh, cool. Like it's I love it.
Very sky of you.
Yeah. I'm very much Skyhoshi when it comes to New York City. I'm like, oh, wow, look, it's cool. I'm like, I've been here for like 9 years. So I still think it's magical. So it really is its own character. You know, I think New York is this beautiful place where, you know, the city kind of does have its own like personality and magic to it.
Yeah.
And I think like what a perfect place for Skyhoshi to fall into, you know? And mm-hmm. so I think, and you know, her anime, she is from the year 3001 of New York City. And so, I just thought it was kind of cool to take her around the city a little bit and experience that. Cause it is its own character. And it's got its own magic to it for sure.
And it's like it's living and breathing so much. And even on screen, you really feel it. Even if it's like in the apartment, you just know around are a million stories around that person. And you're just getting a little piece of it, a little slice.
Exactly. Yeah.
Lastly, let's talk about the effects before we get on to getting people pointed in the right direction. We have a laser gun that I got to say looks fantastic. How hard was that?
Oh, thank you. Oh, you know what? Funny enough, I have a funny story. So the laser gun, so I did all the visual effects myself.
Really?
Because small studio indie over here. Got to do what you got to do. In my previous life, I did visual effects for like commercials and stuff. So it really it helps that I'm able to like bring that skill set into this.
Right.
So the laser gun, it looks really cool. I'm really, like really happy with the way it looks. And it's so funny because it really was not that hard of an effect for me. And the funny thing is the hardest part about this entire movie was I had to green screen a poster on the wall of the comic store, which sounds so simple.
Yeah,
I just put a poster on the wall. What are you talking about? Like you would think a laser gun would be like the hard part.
Right.
But literally it took me so long. It took me hours and hours to put the poster on the wall. I was like, why is this taking so long? There's so many shots of this poster. But what had happened is we filmed the movie before we had the anime version of Skyhoshi completed.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So when we filmed the movie, we just had a green poster on the wall where her poster will be later. Mm-hmm. And so we filmed the whole movie, all that good stuff. We get the anime artwork. This is great. And then I go to replace it. And I just run into like every single like expert level thing where I'm like, this was not simple at all. Like, why? Yeah. Like the motion tracking was a little harder than normal. And like the lighting was a little more difficult than normal. And like, just go down the list of like weird issues I had with it. So kind of funny. Long story short. Just dealing with that green poster on the wall and replacing it with Sky Hoshi's actual poster was just like so difficult for like something that you could have just, you know, if you did it a little differently, you could just print a poster and just like tape it to the wall.
Well, for the sequel, that will be one part that'll be much easier. You already got the posters ready to go.
Yes, that is something I am doing for the sequel. I am not filming any green screens on walls. I'm just printing posters. Yeah.
Speaking of the sequel, production is starting soon. Are you excited for that?
Oh my God, I'm so excited for that. Yeah, I missed having all these characters together, and I just recently read through the script with Olivia and Regina and Stephanie. And you know, for people who don't know, Olivia plays Sky Hoshi, Regina plays Kira, who is a bass player in the band, the Rare Candies. Stephanie is my wife, who's producing the film. So anyways, we all sat together and like read the script, and it was just like such a great moment for us because we were just so excited reading it all together, and it felt like, oh, we're getting the band back together, you know. Like it was great. So this Sky Hoshi story is supposed to be a trilogy. And something that I'm very excited about is I'm kind of taking inspiration from like the Star Wars trilogy, the original, where, you know, Empire Strikes Back goes a little bit darker.
Yes.
You know, kind of ends a little bit.
Reign of Regina.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, it's a little bit more of a bummer, you know, of a movie. But then, you know, the third one goes like, you know, big, happy ending type of a thing.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like my format for this trilogy. And so I'm very excited to do that. And so this movie very much is like the middle movie. And so that's very exciting for me because the second movie is always my favorite in the trilogy. Like when you look at Back to the Future, the second one's my favorite.
Actually, that's a really good point. The second one is technically a lot better too. Like filming wise, like that was hard for them to do.
Oh my God. Yeah. So many effects. It was nuts.
Yeah.
But yeah, Back to the Future, second one's my favorite. Star Wars, the second one's my favorite.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So like when I think back on like some of my favorite trilogies, like the second one usually is my favorite because that's where you can kind of spend more time in the world, you know, and you kind of get a lot deeper into the story. A lot more goes on. And then, you know, the third one, you got to wrap it all up. So it's like, there's a lot of wrapping up to do.
It's a lot of goodbyes. Yeah.
A lot of goodbyes. Yeah. So the second one really is, you know, I'm very excited about. We're planning on starting production just in a couple months, and so we get more laser guns. We have more, we have different weapons or more weapons in this movie, which I'm excited to play with. A lot more fight scenes in this movie. Going to do some like fun fight choreography, so it'll be a fun movie. It's going to be a lot more action, but still like it's still very much Sky Hoshi, just kind of cranked up a couple notches. So.
Heck yeah. That's great. Where can people follow along if they want to see some behind the scenes on this?
Yeah. So you can follow us on Instagram at Pure Magic Pictures. Mm-hmm. And so we post all sorts of stuff there from Sky Hoshi and all the other projects we're working on. Or you can just go to our website, puremagicpictures.com, and you can watch Sky Hoshi. It's out now. So you can check it out. The first one. So you're in the know for the sequel. And if you want to follow along with me and what I'm doing, you know, writing, directing, playing, you know, Zelda, you can follow me. And I'm just at Kalani Hubbard on Instagram. But yeah.
Perfect. We're going to have links to everything, guys. And again, I'll put the trailers, the first link, guys. You can watch Sky Hoshi Get Hooked and then watch the full movie over at Pure Magic. We'll have everything there. You can rent it or buy it or even the Blu-ray. So check that out, guys.
There is a Blu-ray. It has over 4.5 hours of special features, which is
holy
ridiculous.
Holy cow.
But we got a lot on there. It was fun to make.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Well, Kalani, I really appreciate you hanging out with me today.
Yeah, thanks so much, man. This has been fun.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much. Again, go to the links in the description, start clicking around, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye.